Seeing none, I'm gonna move on to discussion by the board. Would you like to start? Chair Howe.
I got a couple of questions. Go back to, for the camp.
Could you speak up, please?
I'm trying.
It is hard to hear. It's everybody.
Put this thing in my, down my throat, I guess. For the camp, I wanna look at the occupancy number that's in, that's been analyzed, you know, it's been knocked down considerably because of the noise down to 622. My understanding is the 622 number is an annual kind of number, in working with the planning department, but I need to know, I guess, what is the maximum occupancy on any one given day?
So first off, we, yes, it was in part due to the noise, but partly why that number we came up with was from 622, was from meeting with our neighbors and asking, well, what would be a working number that we could move forward with? At one time, we had support from neighbors to say, hey, that's a number that we could both agree, hey, let's move forward with that number. Obviously, some things have changed since then, but it's our effort to show, hey, yes, 844 is a lot. 622, that's a maximum occupancy. You know, our understanding is that it's a maximum overnight occupancy for how many people could be up at camp overnight. And so that's where that number came from. Our understanding is that that's how many maximum people could be sleeping up at camp overnight.
I understand that.
Yeah.
That really wasn't my question.
Okay.
It's, at what number would you peak at? Is it different than the 622?
Well,
or
we can't.
Is it something less?
Well, we won't be able to go over 622.
I understand that piece.
So what do we think we'll operate at?
Yeah,
is that your question?
Your feasibility.
So with, I have some of those numbers here. So kind of looking at camps across the country. What do they do as far as their occupancy? No camp reaches their occupancy every night of the year, right?
Correct.
It just doesn't happen, right? So take Mount Hermon, for example, who's our sister camp. They're a big camp. They're one of the oldest camps west of the Mississippi. They've been around for 111 years or something like that, right? So what do they do? Their occupancy is probably around 1,500, right? They have three different camps, one location. They have a family camp for 800. They have an outdoor science camp and a youth camp that's maybe 250, and then a kids camp that's another 150 to 200. So do they operate with those camps at capacity every night? No. During the summer, pretty close to it, right? But then during the rest of the year, they've got weekend church groups coming in. They do an outdoor science program that could be up to about 200 per week down there with all of the people that are down there. So ours is a maximum occupancy for an overnight. That's the limit to how high we could go. We anticipate that in the summer will be probably around 500 based on what we want to do, but we would not go over the 622. So would we bump up to that every once in a while? Yeah, maybe a couple times during the summer. If we have a church group that is bringing an additional 70 or 80 kids up for a week, it is the limit, overnight occupancy, but we anticipate that during the summer, which would be our peak, we would be somewhere in that 450 to 500 range. Is what we would anticipate with the programs that we talked about. We have an adventure camp, ranch camp, mountain bike camp, wilderness camp. We do church groups that can, you know, come and partner with us. We take them rafting, different things. And those are the five main overnight programs that we run. And then we do have a day camp that we run in addition to that as well.
Okay.
Does that answer?
Sort
of. So, Supervisor Howe, with all due respect, this is for discussion for the board to make a decision. I don't want to get back into reopening this whole thing. That's what, in effect, we're trying to do at this point. So if you have some specific, it's going to be critical to it. Otherwise, I would say let's get to the board and get a decision. And I hope you can appreciate where we're at with this process.
Well, I hope you can appreciate how difficult a decision this may be.
It is a very difficult decision. I do not discount that, but we've had plenty of time to ask questions of staff and or back to the Planning Commission. I don't know how many times. Back to the board at least once. It's time for board discussion to make a decision, up or down. It's okay, whichever way we go. Board discussion. Supervisor Chris, I'm going to start with you so we can just move down the line here.
Actually, I just did have one question.
I'm okay with the question. If you have a clarifying question that needs to be answered, that's perfectly acceptable.
Thank you. Yeah, just a question, either for Ms. Lang or Mr. Dean. For the oral record, the vote of the Planning Commission. 5-0, 4-1, you know, just for the oral record.
It was 5-0.
Well, one commissioner was recused, so it was 4.
Again, that was recused, oh yeah. Four of the one recused.
Correct.
That's my clarifying question. Thank you. For me, those are my questions. Looks right here. You know, kind of looking at it, the traffic's going to, because the traffic concerns was brought back down to 622. It's a 20-year rollout, so we'll see no more than 450 in 5 years, or maybe that was 10. It's phased in, it has flat plans for the red flag, the 95th percentile plans for, you know, watching it, being aware of it, the 97th, it has plans to get itself out. It's kind of stronger than actually some communities where they can have score or anything, you know, red flag events and activations. So that's where I'm at. It's something that's being phased in over 20 years. It has an activation plan of awareness. Once it reaches that, which is stronger than some cities, than what they have, and they seem to be mitigating along those lines.
Okay, thank you for your initial comments. I'm sure we'll be going back and have some healthy discussion. Supervisor Ogden.
I appreciate everything your group has done. All the thought, all the work, all the sweat that's gone into making this project what it is. And staff. We couldn't get to a decision without all of this. I have angst over fire danger, and I know some people don't like to hear that. I fear for everybody's safety there, and it's not about how much work you've put into the project. It is what it is, and I don't think any amount of work that can be done there is going to change that, because that is the nature of the location and the nature of nature. And I don't know how to change that situation. I can't think of a way to change that situation. No matter how hard you work at it, I'm not sure we can fix that issue. One thing that keeps coming to my mind is a way that you can do outreach work with your programs. Instead of bringing more people in, you can reach out to people. You can reach out to kids and do your programs in other places instead of bringing more in. You can expand your programs into different places. And you can still employ people and encourage more employment, but do it in a different area, even close to home, but just not right there. So there's things that have been running through my mind. Believe me, I've been thinking about this almost as much as you've been thinking about this. So there's things that I've worried about to try to help you fix your problem, and I don't know what it is. You've been working on this a lot longer than I have. But those are the things that worry me. So I'll leave it there and pass it on.
So what's the question?
I think there's some things that can be mitigated, and I think this board can make that decision today with what would possibly be required to move forward. I think there needs to be some mitigated vegetation removal with regard to not just dependent on a grant or maintenance. I think there's stuff that could be done that would help mitigate some of the fire danger. I think there needs to be some on-site evac equipment of some type and also fire suppression equipment of some kind. I think the evacuation plan needs to be formalized in a way that it's a written document that's part of, if this board goes forward with a permit on this, that it's more formal and not generic, I'll call it that way, so that it's understood. I think there needs to be a mechanism for enforcement. We all like to do the right thing, and best intentions, sometimes it gets put down the road, but we've seen projects that we've approved here that everyone promises we're going to do it, and it never gets done, and then it's an enforcement issue on us that creates a little angst where, you know, we tried to comply with the project proponent. So enforcement for the permit, if the mitigations are approved, would need to be in place. The ingress, egress, the extra road, I think that is mandatory. I think you've said that, but I would have thought by now it would have been a good idea to have done it prior to today. So that's mandatory. I don't know how long that would take to get in place, but that's something that has to occur. I heard from the attorney, Jennifer Buckman, and I hadn't heard this before. I don't know about the Federal Religious Act and what that document is. Have we seen that?
It's not, there's no document, it's a federal statute, so
What is she referring to, though? She's obviously brought it up that we're supposed to have looked at it.
Well, basically, and generally, I'm not a lawyer, so I can't speak to it to,
Just go to County Council, you can look at something real quick.
Yeah, what's being referred to is, and I'm sure there's a way of saying this, but I'll just spell it out, RLUIPA, which stands for the place to worship with, the Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act of 2020. My office has looked at it and doesn't think it's applicable in this situation for a variety of reasons, including the fact that what's being proposed is just a neutral application of zoning. There's not any discriminatory nature.
Fair enough. That's the first I've heard of it, so thank you. And then, I'm sorry, Haley, while you're still there. The current use permit, is it voided with a new permit? How is that going to work? And is there an expiration on a new permit if it's approved?
So there would not be an expiration on a new permit if it was approved. The only time it would expire is if the use ceased to occur. And then I believe that permit, that's how our current permits are written. So there has to be continuous use of whatever the established use is. If not, then it's null. I think after 2 years is our standard language in our use permits.
What happens to the current permit?
So that would be folded into the current permit, the current use permit.
So we have two permits?
No, there's going to be one use permit, and those conditions would be carried over, but I mean, they're very, very, very general conditions. So they're already the same conditions that are on the current use permit, or the proposed use permit.
So where I'm headed with this is,
yeah,
we get cases that come before us that, for an old permit that we haven't
revoked. Right.
And where I'm headed with this is, are we going to do a clean application here? Are we going to revoke an old one and create a new one?
Correct.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. And from my understanding is it would be, the anticipation is 450 occupancy total at 5 years is what I think you
indicated. Yes, from that chart I read off, yeah.
So is there a mechanism to put in, if should it be approved, to establish like a review?
A review of occupancy?
Of occupancy and of use of the permit if it's approved. And should it not, should the proponent not, I guess, abide by the permit, what's the regulatory ramification to that?
Sure. So if that type of language hypothetically was embedded in the use permit, so it was a condition of approval, anytime anyone does not follow through on their conditions of approval, then that would go to enforcement action with code enforcement. And so they have their own, you know, process that they go through with, you know, citations, you know, weekly, monthly, daily. So it would be through that process.
Ultimately, is the permit revoked or not?
Yeah, and then we could easily take that to the Planning Commission for any of, you know, the conditions that would be followed through for revocation.
Okay, thank you.
So much help.
Yeah, I'll get back to you from a presentation standpoint. One of the things I want to make clear to my constituents, the big difference between what we're doing today versus what we live with J.H. Ranch is J.H. Ranch, we can't get them to a use permit. And this is a step in the right direction to have some enforcement over whatever is in this permit. I've spent hundreds of hours in this record, well over 3,000 pages, going through the factual information of this, reading all of your comments, meeting with staff and council over the last 8 months. And I will tell you that it is difficult to sort out emotion from fact on either side of this, but that's what you're asking me to do. With that said, thank you for the Scott Valley Area Plan. I have an original copy, actually. It's blue with all of the annotated notes, and I refer to it along with two other references on my desk. One is the Scott River Adjudication. So suffice to know that there are opinions about the Scott Valley Plan that didn't make it into code. And when that happens, some of the definitions that we're quibbling about today are not in the Scott Valley Plan. It refers back to the general plan, which is more allowable, if you will. The Scott Valley Plan, in all of my counsel, in all of my reading, is a great plan that did a great job on Ag 1 and Ag 2 land. And then it kind of ran out of steam when it got to these other areas around sides of the valley. And that's where we have to revert back to what's missing in it, back to the general plan, which is confusing. And it's legally confusing, but I've worked through the bulk of that. If I were just giving my opinion, you know, that's one thing. But I have to be able to back that in what's in law. On the water issues, suffice to know that I have also vetted all that through UC Davis and our experts on the well use. I've talked to the other owners on the ditch, on Barker Ditch, who don't have issues with the use of that water, but also know that there's another process going to take place. This has to go through DWR concurrence as well. The design for any pond has to go through them. They're the regulators of that, and they will regulate the water use. The county doesn't do that. When it comes to the groundwater use on the domestic well, we have places, there's been a lot of conjecture about what we use for other purposes rather than drinking water and domestic uses. Well, we have things in place, and anything that goes forward from here, there's going to be a requirement in the permit that the use of that water be monitored so that it stays domestic and it doesn't go somewhere else, as some have alluded to. With the 4290 and 4291 specs, there are other processes that could stop this project. You know, the right-of-way is not a done deal. In order for that to even be constructed, the timber company has to take it out of TPZ and go through a timber harvest plan to even construct that right-of-way, because that right-of-way is not allowed in TPZ lands. That can take up to 2 years. So I know that as an RPF, it's going to take some time, as well as many of these other processes here. So some of the, you know, I came in here today, I hate having a divided community where there are no good answers, and there really aren't, on this particular thing. With that said, anything that goes forward, I'm prepared to put additional mitigation in with teeth into the use permit itself. On the occupancy piece, the occupancy shall not exceed 622 persons total on site, including all guests, all staff, all visitors on any one given day. The 4291 requirements and the 95th percentile piece requiring transportation for off-site transport of all guests, and the shutdown at 97 percentile shall be a condition in the permit that's enforceable through county OES and through the county code. And that doesn't include, in my mind, multiple trips for an evacuation. That's a single out kind of trip in the 95th percentile. I don't want to debate what kind of traffic hazards you're going to have trying to make multiple trips. It's just not feasible during an evacuation. All of the conditions for the 4290 and 4291 must be completed prior to issuance and approval of the use permit itself, which in my mind includes the road and its inspection by CAL FIRE with all of the applicable clearing standards around that road, an evacuation plan for the camp that is approved by both OES and county staff, and in place at the time, the I guess what I'm saying is I'm looking to staff at the proper place to insert all of this, because what's in our staff packet, I can't go through item by item. There's things that have to be changed all throughout the class documents that I have in front of me. In order for this. As far as the EIS, a lot of the other issues that are in it, or the EIR, excuse me, that are in it, I keep those around with the experts and with our staff and with many of you in the public. And I find that some are concerning, like I have angst over some of that. No project's perfect. I wish I could fix the conflict with traffic. You know, the only way to get through that is for me to rely on the experts that reduce the numbers downward to what may be a tolerable level, although it is a kind of road.
Because we're going to go through this a little bit. So first of all, thank you for a copy of the Scott Area Plan. I always heard about it. I went through the names. They're all gone. Most of the ones I don't recognize. I do recognize some of the names of places, like Supervisor Torrey. But the one I do remember, I see on there, Wendell Seward, Marilyn Seward is on the City Council. So I appreciate what this group represented, but it was really to protect ag, right? So, you know, they didn't go complete the whole process. I always think about our general plan, how we need to revisit it. And one of the things that I think we're up against as supervisors is when we come to an issue that's, you know, and I think we've all been there. There's an issue in each of our communities. You're in ground zero, Supervisor Howe. I've been there far too many times in mine, I think, with the Crystal Geyser, you know, just the whole litany of things that we have to do. One of the things what I do is depend on staff, and I think staff's done a great job. So thank you, Haley. You know, I depend on the Planning Commission. It isn't one person, one decision. It's a collective decision. We can sit here, and I think CEQA brings it up. There's no perfect thing. There's differences of opinion, you know. I love one of my favorite lines of a song, and I can't think of the song again, is you can just see it from a different point of view. You know, at the end of the day, talk about fire. I've always been concerned about fire down in the canyon, coming, taking out my community, because it was the number one community on a hit list for a while. But, you know, regardless, when I first got on the board, we'd have a fire every year, predominantly down in Happy Camp, and we've seen what's happened. So fire is an overriding concern. But you mitigate that. That's my comment. Hey, first one's out, it would be the kids. You do have fire departments around there. I have my own version of what I would do to mitigate, but I'm not going to micromanage what staff and or someone's district is, because I have a different set of rules and criteria. And it's too late in the game to try to change the program, if you will. So at this point, I would like us to move forward either way. Does someone want to make a proposal, or do you want to go back to another round of discussions? I'm open to whatever the board likes to do.
I just have a clarification for Supervisor Howell. When you said the 622, it from what I'm seeing, the 622 wouldn't be hit until 20 years from now.
Correct.
So the 5 years has got the 450.
It's a phase in.
It's a phase in. So when you're talking about 622, that's 20 years out in my mind. So I don't know that you're saying that within the next 5 years.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
And to further clarify that, and for Kidder, I'm not even sure he'll ever get there. Because there are a lot of other permits and permissions by regulatory agencies that have to occur that I'm not sure they're going to concur with the build out.
Okay, that's. We'll come back.
Absolutely, they're done. Yeah. I have a question on the clarification. We say like the 622, they can come back for. I know that the 844.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at those numbers, it was 450 in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
The one at 622 will it be 450 in 5 years, or is it the percentage of 622?
It would be the percentage, which I could calculate that, but yeah, it would be
lower. I just want to make sure we're working on the same number.
You're correct.
I just want to make sure we're working on the same number there.
Sure, sure.
Would you please get us those numbers so we're not questioning what we're
doing? We'll go back and take that.
Okay, thank you.
That was just kind of finish here. I responded to the Bowles fire when it happened in 2014. It's really dumb blue. So fire is a concern. I agree with the colleagues for on-site evacuation. That makes sense. I agree with the vegetation plan. I agree with the teeth, the violation, because sometimes something gets approved and then it gets abused. And if it's agreed to now, of course, it would be agreed to in the future. It just has that teeth where you have it. And then, I'm along the lines of my colleagues' improvements or mitigations.
One of the additional things that I would look at is to have your vehicles identified as Kidder Creek Orchard Camp vehicles so that in case of an evacuation, when you were rolling down the road, everybody knew who you were, so you weren't going to get stopped. I think that's a very important aspect, because if you just have vehicles running willy-nilly, it would be nice to know who you were, who you represented. I think that the use permit needs to be refined a lot. I think we need to put some real more stringent line items in there, and again, the contingencies for, you know, following through on that need to be strong. As we said, we've been burned before, and along the line of the religion aspect, Star Camp comes to mind, because that's what they turned around and came back to us on, and that's what they used, and they threw some of the bus on that one.
They made that argument.
Uh-huh.
I can make any argument.
Yeah, but that's what they used.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm along the same line.
Okay, so if we're going to head down the path, you know, maybe now's the time to put what your conditions are to move this forward, or you're not going to support it and we can move down that path. Either way, because we can stay here all afternoon if you want. So think about what you would want if this is going to move forward, or that you're not going to get there, so we can say no, because I'm going to ask for a vote at some point. Michael, follow up?
I've got to defer to
Supervisor Howe.
I need staff to help me.
Absolutely. Straightforward question, straightforward answer.
Well, I'll articulate the actual requirements that I threw out there and where they fit.
Yeah, so is it the intent to codify all this today before we move forward?
It is my intent.
We have every condition
in
place.
Yes, if we're going to move forward, that is my intent.
That seems otherwise my chair's intent.
And just to the chair real quickly, and maybe everybody already knows this, but what I would suggest, if you're moving forward with this, today we adopt the first reading
yes.
of the ordinance. Everything else is held off on until the second reading. And what we need today, which is what you just said, is specify
what your
what
wants
conditions
of, yes.
you need for the
yes.
permit, so that you can incorporate it into the permit bridge and bring it back.
Thank you for succinctly telling how I would want this to proceed, and or the flip side is if you're not going to get there. So we know, we need to, so the people know where we're going with this. That's. Did you get that? Right? Were you,
yeah.
you, okay.
That's what I asked.
Hmm?
That's why I asked where to stand up.
Okay. So let's go back down the path which you want to proceed or that you're not going to proceed. So where's your press?
I already said my
condition. Okay. So what's your own?
With trepidation, I'll move to proceed.
So what's your pops up?
With mitigations in the use permit, I think we can move forward.
So what's your help?
Yeah, the use permit teeth that I asked for, both in the maximum occupancy pieces in the 92.90, 92.91, 95th, 97th percentile, and the requirement for on-site inspection of the domestic well and the consumption thereof.
Okay. So we need to organize this so we can actually get it solid down in. I'm going to ask Katie Lane to join me here.
Okay, so
piece by piece.
Let me just go to my comment. Mine is very straightforward.
Sorry.
I think one of the things I think you've heard it directly and indirectly from my peers is we approve something and then somewhere it gets lost down the line. I do not want this to come back because we didn't do something from the county following up, whether it's an inspection, whether it's an annual review, whatever that is, because now we're beholden to whatever happens.
Ready to start the exercise?
She wasn't out.
Sure.
Does she have the numbers yet? Maybe we'll skip that.
Hey, do you want to give us the numbers first?
Sure. So the increase is a little funky. So the first increase is 33% in 2021-19-18. But, the 310 baseline, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the 5 years would be at 412. The 10 would be at 499. The 15 would be at 494, and then, 594, excuse me. Thank you. And then, so then the final at 20 is 622.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Be someplace where you
can just for the chair, are those numbers 622 ultimately, is that, I thought that was Clippers. I heard Supervisor Hoppe indicate.
It was total.
It's everybody. It's everybody.
You ready, Rick?
Okay, so let's go down the line and start off with the occupancy first.
Okay.
So are we set with the 622 number with phase in over 20 years, first of all?
I guess so, because I didn't get an answer really to my question. So that is what's in the EIR.
It's in the EIR is up to 844 over 20 years.
Just the mitigation and option 4, and alternative 4.
622.
Yes,
622
is the
number.
Yes, okay, sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
Just everyone okay on that 622?
Well, we can lower that if we want.
We can, and that's why I asked the question, but I didn't get the answer I was looking for.
What are you looking for?
Well, I can just pick a number out of the sky, but I don't want to do that.
Do we want to make it 500?
I think it's 622, and if someone wants to make a number proposal, speak your piece, and we'll vote up or down on it. Supervisor Hopp is okay with 622 at this point. Supervisor Compton, are you okay with 622?
Yeah.
I'm okay with 622. Yeah. Supervisor Chris?
I'm good with it.
Continue on.
Okay. So, within the conditions of approval for the use permit, currently we have 18 conditions, or 19, excuse me. We will have 19. So, with the occupancy, we'll propose that we set number 18 to read something to the effect of this, and we can smith this as we go. Daily occupancy shall not exceed 622 persons on site. And for clarification, with Mr. Andy Warkin, that's not overnight campers. That's total people on site physically at any time of the day.
Correct. At the end of 20 years, not in five.
As it's phased out.
Right. Okay,
so
that's
we're going to have to build into this whole...
Whatever the number is, that's the maximum during the day.
Yeah.
Okay.
At any time, not to exceed that number, day or night. Also, bear in mind that they have an annual event that they have been having for some time. It's in the IR, 1,250 people. So if you have this hard cap specifically, it would not allow for that. So we need to make an accommodation for that one-time event to occur and exceed that number, which has been evaluated with an EIR at 1,250 for the fall festival.
Okay, I was going to say that's the fall festival for the local.
Yes.
People.
Yeah.
And they're not overnight guests, I believe.
Correct.
Yeah. Correct. So to read on, 600 persons on site, period, with the exception of the annual one time per year event, Autumn Festival, period.
Mr. Heath?
Yes, sir.
Jump in, just say it's Red Flag Day for the one day festival. When is the one day festival?
It's in
October.
Oh,
okay.
End
of September, early October.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. And Red Flag Day, nothing happens.
Period. That's my only follow up.
Yeah. We'll get to that in the mitigation measures. Also, added to this, daily records of site attendance shall be maintained and subject to inspection by the Community Development Department at will. So we can do spot inspections at any time with code enforcement to ensure that those numbers are intact and in place. So now I think we could also add on to this that building the percentages over time, for the 20-year time, and hey, they're going to go ahead and basically regurgitate and word form the 412, the 499, the 594, and 622 over those 5-year increments.
So it could read something like.
Draft it out.
Yeah. Okay, so build out at 5 years shall not exceed 412 occupancy, oh, daily occupancy, and then 499 at 10, 594 at 15, and then 622 at 20. So let me just type this out real quick.
Thank you.
Is that something that can come back in the second meeting?
Well, right now, we need to nail down the concept. Yeah. We don't need to nail down the exact language.
Yeah, I'm just thinking if it would make more sense to have something read, you know, build out shall not exceed, and then insert the table, you know, the 5 years for, you know, at any given, you know, at these year marks.
Were those mitigations, they were in the packet somewhere, right?
The mitigations?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think whatever we want to add on to that and then come back, because we'll revisit this.
This is a clarification right here.
You want to take five? Let Wendy take a break here. Let's take five. We'll figure that out.
Okay.